once read of a pastor in a church, big church in Texas. And Texas, you know, they have big churches and big everything. And the choir sang very well. And the rest of the service, and he got up to preach the sermon. And he said, "I've been so moved by the service and the wonderful music by the choir and everything else that's gone on." He said, "Let's just go home." And he gave benediction. Well, since I've worked on this sermon, I'm going to wait a little bit before we do that, okay? But we are very appreciative of our choir, beautiful music, and it really did touch our hearts and lives. And we are grateful for the children and how they respond and what you do such a good job. Pam, thank you very much. And all of us, as we come together, lifting up our prayers for everything that's going on, are very blessed, and we need to remember that this day. Let's hear the words from the book of Philippians. It's a small book, only four chapters long, but it has Word of God in it. And we want to see if we can pull it out from there. You can get things out of it yourself and probably do a better job than me as a preacher, but you need to look at it and to study. Beginning with the fourth part of the fourth verse, "If any other man thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh," Paul kind of brags, and he's been known to say, you know, "I can do this." He said, "I have more circumcision," circumcised on the eighth day of the people, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law of the Pharisees, as to zeal of persecuting the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever I gain, had I counted as loss for the sake. And others, rather than saying, count it as a loss for the sake, that it's rubbish what I have done. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuge, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already obtained this and am already perfect, not that I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded. And if anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold truth that which we have attained." This is the word of God as recorded in Philippians, the second chapter. Those verses that have been read in our hearing. May God bless this reading to our hearts and our lives and our minds, that we may discern who we are as people of God. Have you ever had a goal that you've set for yourself? I don't know whether it's to make an A or to get to a certain place or to go to a concert or whatever it might be, but we set goals. And Paul is saying the goal he had in his life now is the upward call in Christ Jesus our Lord. He uses the imagery of an athlete, someone striving to get to the end of the road, striving to go there, and having to make some preparations. Just like the young people this morning. First, they stretched. You know, God might be trying to stretch us in places we don't want to be stretched. We don't want to do those things, but God keeps prevailing us if we're going to be in this race to complete it and carry it out. Stretching can be very good for you. I mean, you've stretched and felt good, but if it's not done properly, it can hurt. It can be wrong for your body. You can tell it later. All those who are runners know about this. I was looking at an article that someone gives me the newspaper from, it's called the Wall Street Journal, and it had in it an article in the personal section about those who are runners, you know, to run properly. In other words, there are ways you should run and ways that you should not run. Stretching is very important. But then how you put your feet down and bring them up and the motion of your body and how it's going back and forth. Some of those ways are not good for your body because it will bring on injuries. And if you're going to run a marathon of 26 miles, you need not to have injuries. So all of these things are part of that. Is if you're going to stretching our hearts and lives. What stretches you in your own spiritual life? Went to a seminar a week or so ago, one from our church and our fellowship and our communion. James Ivy Warren was the one who lectured to us. It was for retired clergy and spouses. He came to be the lecturer, talked to us about spirituality and the last third of our life. In other words, we were not as young as we once were. And this was looking at some of those things, and he based it upon the Myers-Briggs personality test that so many corporations used to try to get matched up the people that will work best together. You know, a meshing, where you won't have all leaders, you will have some that can be followers, those that can be rational, those that can be emotional, all of these things. And he talked to us about that, and we had four lectures on those kinds of things. Augustine, Thomas, Ignatius, trying to match it up with spiritual giants in the life of the church. And seeing what, and every time he would say, the laity are this percentage of the people, and this percentage is clergy. It was interesting to see. The Albans Institute is the one that had conducted a lot of this information. But then he said, oh, I'm so glad that we've gotten through this now. Now I want to get to what I really want to get to. And it's talking about the last third of our life. And he introduced a book called Falling Forward. You know, we usually use them, but this is in spiritual life. Falling forward. How are we falling forward in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is one major characteristic that he pointed out and said, this is what we should all be doing? I don't know, but people age and I've aged, and I've known some people that have aged, and aging seems to be a process of what goes on with us in this life. One of the things he pointed out was gratitude. Thankful for what had gone on in our life and what we had done with our life. Now, Paul the Apostle was doing some of his great work because he held up the law supreme. And some of these others that were called Christians were not doing it according to the law. So he was seeking to exterminate them, get rid of them. But on the Damascus Road, he had an experience that changed his life when he met the Lord Jesus Christ and when he was blind for a while. changed his life completely. And he says, all of these other accomplishments that I have done is rubbish, is trash, compared with what my walk has been since I was claimed by Jesus. What is God seeking to do in your life and mine? What is He seeking to transform through your body, your mind, your energy, your activities, your goings, using everything you have, the resources you have? What is He seeking to do with you? Paul wanted those Christians in the church at Philippi to know. He wanted them to realize that they had potential, possibility, and they could do to honor Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. Where are we today? Who are you? How is Christ using you? How is He seeking to change your life, to push you into new avenues of service, or stretch you out? We're going to be stretched one way or another, and it sure is good to be good if we can be stretched by the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also good if we can have a plan. Runners have to set a plan of when they will push and when they will slow down, when they will keep a pace. We were talking to our 7-year-old granddaughter, the one that lives in Raleigh, and she was participating through the Y on a triathlon. You know, you ride a bike and you run and you swim. Now, Katie is a go-getter. I mean, she is. And she says, well, now she was running. She says, I'm just going to run like this. But then when we get to so-and-so, I'm going to run like this. And she was showing how her speed would be one speed, and then it would get faster. God is seeking to have us to run a good race. And all racers talk about hitting the wall. When you get to a point where body is telling you one thing and mind, the soul, and spirit is telling you something else, if you want to get to the end of the road and complete the race, you have to push from that. You have to go through that block that's there. Because your body's going to get tired. Especially if you're running 26 miles. And people do it. And they talk about hitting that brick wall, but they come through it. And they complete it. We have many obstacles in our own spiritual life. But trying to complete this goal for the upward call in Christ Jesus, there will be roadblocks, discouragements, activities and things that will seem to defeat us, but we are not lost because we're doing it by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God seeks to be your guide and your lead in your life just as He does in mine, but we have to open ourselves up. We have to do our stretching. We have to reach out like the runner getting to the end of the road to get to the line, to be there and to get there. God is seeking to bless each one of us. I thought Jim Warren did a great job in the lecturing and in talking about the spiritual life of all. George and Jackie were there, and we got to see several other ministers in our annual conference. But it was a great experience for us, and we did a lot of laughing. People telling stories. These were jokes. Stories that would make you laugh. And stories about what they had gleaned from across these years. And some of them had some years on them, just like I do. And we talked about it and laughed in the grace of Jesus Christ being a part of all of this. We're striving to get the prize of the upward call in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a goal we want to do. It's a race that we have to go. And we need to strive to reach out. And God is always, always touching us. If we become more aware of how God is touching our lives, it might be through the children that dancing down here are doing next. I don't know how he do it, but he does it so many ways in each of our life. He touches us. It's just the sensitivity that we have. Marvin Vick was at Mebane Methodist Church when I was a youngster. And he used to talk about doing card tricks. He said, what you do is you get your fingerprints so clean from any kind of debris or anything that's in them, and get them real clean. Then you can be very sensitive to the cards. And he did some good tricks, I thought. But if we could be that sensitive to the movement of God's Spirit in our individual lives, how God is seeking to lead us. And there are many people that are seeking to develop us, to help us along the way. And as you and I pray for each other, as we walk with each other, as we talk to each other, as we seek to have our whole community of faith together for the upward call in Christ Jesus, it will be amazing, astounding, appreciated what the Lord Jesus Christ can do in our life. Amen. We come now to a special time in our service where we lift up the prayers for people that we know, people that are listed in the bulletin, people that are hospitalized, and I want to lift up one. June Loftus is my brother. There were 7 children in our family. 5 of them are deceased, and I'm the baby, and the next one up is my brother C.S., and his wife is in intensive care at Alamance Memorial Hospital. They don't know she's been in the hospital over a week, but they think it's lung cancer. And I was there yesterday when the doctor came and he said, well, I'm not real sure until we get these tests back. And June said, well, don't you think it's cancer, doctor? He said, well, I don't know. Said, we'll just wait for those tests. And I liked the way he handled her. But before he came in, we were talking to her and she said, you know, the family's all been around, all the children. And they've been just sitting around here. And she said, they just sit around and waiting for me to die. I said, oh, June, they love you and they care for you, you know. But, you know, families pull together when times are tough. And she very much appreciates her children being there. And I wanted to mention June's name. And then there are several others on this prayer list. Is any more that you want to lift up before we go to God in prayer as a corporate prayer?
Tom?
Sure.
A new granddaughter.
Blessing. Yeah. A new granddaughter. How old is she now? A day?
6 days.
6 days old. Well, wonderful. Hey, grandmother.
I'll answer.
How old is she?
6 days.
Six. Okay. Very good. Do somebody else. Excuse me. Back here. Jimmy Perkins. Is he any kin to Perkins that lived beside us?
I don't know.
Okay. He was former highway patrolman, okay. No, Jimmy Perkins. Want to be sure and remember Jimmy Perkins. Others? And thank you for your prayers that you will lift up individually. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and eternal God, you know our thoughts and our prayers. You know us better than we know ourselves. Our failures, our gains, where we have done good, where we have not done so good. But you love us with a love that caused you to act and to give Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We pray that you would bless us. The prayers we lift up for the sick, those who are going to go through surgery, those who are at home, those who need your presence, and those prayers that we lift up individually to your throne of grace. Bless us as we come together as a congregation, as a community of faith, enlivening us with your Spirit, electrify us with your presence, and strengthen us as we seek to be your people, blessing others because you have touched our hearts and lives. Be with us, we pray, and guide us through the powerful influence of your Holy Spirit as we seek to lift up the prayers of people around the world for all the crises that are there. We pray that you would be in the midst through the lives of your people. Bless us with strength, empowering us with wisdom and insight, that we may always be your people, showing the love of your Son in our life. For it's in Jesus' name we lift up our prayer and pray as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would please turn in your hymnal to page 12 for the service and word and table number 2. Christ our Lord has invited to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us now worship God as we offer his gifts and his tithes unto him.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, we pray that you would pour out the powerful influence of your Holy Spirit upon our gifts we bring this day. Use them in the work of the church, that Jesus Christ may be known as Lord and Savior of our life and of all lives. Bless us, we pray. Amen. If you will please turn in your hymnal to the Great Thanksgiving, you can be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you. Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, you have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today his family in all the world is joining in his holy table. On the night he gave himself for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and after he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood in the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully to your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast as his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We ask those who are going to help serve if they will please come forward at this time. The table has been prepared. We invite you to come to the table of the Lord. Savior Jesus Christ, which was given for you. The body of Jesus, which was given for you. The body of our Lord and Savior, which was given for you. The body of Christ, which was given for you. The body of Christ, which was given for you. The body of Christ, which was given for you. Carry on the body of Christ, which was given for you. The body of Christ, which was given for you. The body of Christ, which was given for you. The body of Christ, which was given for you.